Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott go to Jumilla in Spain and drink the Eagle Bodegas El Gorro. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. Tonight is homage to my wife, to Princess. She's ailing currently, and tonight we're drinking one of, if not her favorite, current wine. She drinks this all the time.
She does.
The Gorro.
Yes, it is Ego Bodegas, and it's their El Gorro. This is their Monastrell Syrah, Petite Syrah blend, 50, 30, 20 on that blend. Ego Bodegas is a value-priced winery. They do have some things around 20 and goes up, but they have three wines below 12 that are really, really competitively priced and excellent wines for really what they are. You've got the El Gorro. You got the El Gorro Gold, which is $11.99. And then you have the Gordo Verde. The Gordo Verde is 100% Monastrell. What is the Gold? Is it a similar blend to this?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it might be just Monastrell and Syrah, maybe?
It
might be just two components.
But three wines, $11.99 below, that just are very, very solid. They're from Jumilla, too. And we love Jumilla. Jumilla is a region in Spain. It's not. It's in between, I believe, Madrid and Barcelona. So it's right down there. It gets a little bit of coastal waters, but you know their focus really is Monastrell. That's what they do, with some other blends thrown in there. And that's really exciting because we happen to love Monastrell. We haven't done a wine from Jumilla in quite some time, but it seemed like the right time to do another one.
It's the right time of the night.
Yes, I know. And tonight, we're also going to talk about, we had a lovely dinner this weekend as well, Scott and I, and a couple, well, the superstar and one of our listeners, Jason, went out to dinner. Scott coined a new phrase at dinner, which I wasn't familiar with.
Not a new phrase.
It is a new phrase.
Now,
folks, you understand, when a couple, whether it be a man or woman, man and a man, whatever, woman, have a fight, right? And then to bring their love back, they have...
No, that's
sexual
not, that's not what that purpose is.
They have sexual intercourse. We call it makeup sex. Scott doesn't call it that.
No, it's angry sex. Angry fuck. Angry fuck sex.
Scott calls it angry
it's
fuck
anger.
Sex.
Anger. Not violence.
Why would you be angry at the person you're having sex with? I am. I frequently am. But it's not consensual, you see. The anger comes from the fact I can't gain consent. Ergo... angry, fuck. I don't understand why he says fuck sex. It's like Scott is a pervert and a deviant. But he also is not a native speaker of English. He's like Croatian or something. He's like, me have angry the fuck sex. And the victim is so perplexed. They're like, am I going to laugh at you? Am I scared of you? I'm both. So they're laughing and they're terrified, but they're laughing more. And then it actually... keeps them safe because they don't take Scott seriously because they angry fuck. You understand that fuck and sex are the same word, so why don't you just say angry fuck fuck or angry
exactly.
sex? That would be nice, Scott. Angry fuck fuck. Me want angry fuck fuck. That would be lovely.
Now you're appropriating, Scott.
It's not a phrase. Just to point that out. Angry fuck sex. No one's ever said that but you. So, you know, you can just admit that you had a mental pants shitting and you said that when you didn't mean it. You could say it, but you just keep living that lie.
So anyway, folks, if you have a fight with your significant other, you can tell them, you know what, my love, why don't we have angry fuck sex? And then you'll have another argument. And then you won't have to worry about it and you can have angry fuck sex with yourself. So the guru from Umiya, as we said, we're excited about this one. We're excited to tell you about it, to show it to you, and to, once again, enjoy a value-priced wine that should be well done. So we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Ball. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So Scott is looking on his computer, his personal computer.
Cora.
He's looking up angry fuck sex.
Says, what do you think about angry sex?
Angry sex is different than angry fuck sex.
What's the difference?
Well, one is... angry fuck sex is creepy. Angry sex is odd.
No, you just said that fuck and sex are the same thing.
Yes, but why would you say angry fuck sex? That's angry a good fuck question.
Sex.
Angry fuck sex. No, yes. No, you can't like put a pause there.
Yes,
angry
you can.
Fuck.
That's for you.
You're
and your
an angry fuck having sex. Is
no,
that what you mean?
It's for your pea brain to understand. It's
Jesus.
Angry fuck sex. It's a type of sex.
It's not a type of sex.
Oh, Lord.
You're Scott so looked it up, and he thing. Just got porn. No, go
I,
figure.
I explained it to you that night.
Oh, I know you explained to me how you would like... it's just...
No, it wasn't how I
You
would
don't
like.
Explain angry fuck sex. You know, it's just you don't. It involves spitting in someone's mouth,
You have to
I
explain
think.
It to you.
Degrading them. Yes, it does.
No.
Oh, it does, Scott. It does. I looked it up. Yeah. You know, Scott's a big fan of the Serbian film, folks. You should look that up. Scott's a big film
Serbian
buff.
Serbian Film
the,
Festival?
No, the movie called The Serbian Film. Don't look that. Please don't look that up, Scott. You're going to be very No, that's angry fuck sex. So let's just leave it at that.
So, folks, Scott looks up something he's going to wish
he
never
It's a horror movie.
Yeah, yes, it is. Please don't look it up. It's going to disturb the shit out of you. I've never seen it, but I know what it is.
It's on every list as the most disturbing, disgusting thing, and it's illegal in a lot of countries. Just to point that out.
Is it legal to watch a Serbian film?
You're going to have people with rifles coming to your house. Anyway, this wine does have some reviews. It has the Decanter. Decanter gave it 92 of their points, and they wrote, Ego is one of the youngest wineries in Humilla, founded in 2011 by Santos Ortiz and Lona something. El Gordo is a rich, seductive blend of three intensely flavored varietals, showing that Petit Verdot has potential in this continental zone. The varieties, also Monastrell and Syrah, are fermented separately and then blended before barrel aging. And then,
yes, this is a southern man, a wine enthusiast. And by the way, Scott, do not look up the Serbian film. I tell you why. I watched it one time, and then I realized I do not like Serbia, nor do I like films anymore. So I only watch cartoons, which has led me to other issues, as we've discussed on the show. Anyway, the wine enthusiast gave it 91 of their points, and it said, this dark red-violet wine has a bouquet of black plum, vanilla, and mountainside herbs. Very specific mountainside herbs. Anyway.
What herbs grow on a mountainside?
I don't know. Marijuana.
Well.
It offers smooth tannins and flavors of black cherry, raspberry, milk, chocolate, coconut, and mint.
And skunk?
Maybe. That's a mountainside herb. There's a splash of cranberry on the finish and a lingering note of eucalyptus. It's a best buy, they said. 91 of their points. So, the website does not talk about the barrel aging itself, but it is barrel aged, as I said before. This winery, though, does also make some... You go on their website, it'll be linked on this episode.
on the Lipson site, and you can see some of the things. One thing that we've had before, it's been like season one, so I don't know if you could ever even find that episode anymore. Our website, you probably could. Infinito is a wine. I see that occasionally. It's $20. It was a nice blend. I haven't had it in several years, but I really liked it when we had it that one time. There's a wine with a bunch of different mustaches on it, which I don't want. There's a wine with a lion's head on it, I don't want. There's a wine with a red M, I don't want. There's a white wine with mustaches on it, I don't want. And something with a swan that I don't want. But that's okay. What is the mustache wine? I'm somewhat curious.
I remember buying Don the Baffo. Infinito wine.
Yeah, Don Baffo. I don't want Don Baffo. Oh, it's the same blend as this. Hmm.
Well, there's the Blanco. I see the Blanco as the... There's some disparity on the Goru Gold. There's one listing that has it Cab Monastrell, and then there's another listing that has it Cab Syrah Monastrell, so I'm uncertain.
Well, it could theoretically change from vintage to vintage. Their own website says Monastrell, Syrah, and Cabernet.
But then in the descriptor of it, it just talks about the best hand-selected Monastrell and Cab. So does it mean it's no Syrah, or they just... didn't take the best hand selected. Yeah. They just took the shitty Syrah.
We say whatever we get from the Syrah, we're just going to say, fuck it. It's in the parking lot. Fuck it.
Well,
we stole it out of the backside of a pickup truck in Walmart parking lot.
Don't think they have Walmarts in Humia. Although, with Walmart, you never know. They might.
They might.
They might.
Yeah. Well, in the glass, it is a violet crimson hue. It's a pretty wine in the glass. And we're using the Riedel Venom Old World Syrah glasses for this. The nose is simple. There's a little bit of raspberry, cranberry.
There's a bit of oiliness about the texture just on the eye. Just like a little...
slithery.
Slithery. Slithery like a snake. Having angry fuck sex.
Do snakes have angry fox? I don't want to know about that.
No. Snakes are involved. And
could be an element of tobacco leaf.
Too. Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They don't mention that.
Actually, it's a primary element in this nose. This is...
It's subtle, it's light, but it's...
One thing we haven't mentioned about this line, whether it's the gold... or this particular bottle, or the 100% Monastrell, they score really well.
Oh, they do.
Year in, year out. 90, 91, 92, 93, by different sources, by different rating organizations.
Yeah.
You look at their webpage and you see the scores. You see all the different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to a little local wine purveyor called Grain and Grape, and they have... one or two, if not all, of these bottles, and we're about 4 years into buying this.
Well, right now, the Gordo Verde has a 90 from the Spectator and a 90 from the Enthusiast.
And that's
just like you're saying.
Honestly, that's probably a lower score for them.
Yeah, I think they've got 91s before. The Gold has a 92 from the Enthusiast. So, you know, this is the 2020, then 18 Gordo Verde got a 90 from the Spectator as well. So pretty consistent, good little scores. So.
And I think regularly we pay $9.99. I think you got this on wine.com. Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, wine.com, $9.99. And I'm sure, like I said, Ohio, we said this before, is high on prices. So you might be able to get it for $7.99, $6.99, $8.99 where you are. We're going to try it right now and we'll tell you if you should, but you might want to.
It is a wonderful little glass of wine.
Mm-hmm. And we've had the Gordo Verde in the last couple seasons here on the show. And we really enjoyed it. It was a value priced Hall of Fame, I believe.
Yep.
That's a really, I mean, honestly, folks, if you haven't had this before, you haven't drank wine. You can't do a lot better sub 10 than something like this, because it is, a complex, it has complexity and it has depth.
Length.
Mm-hmm. And length. It has all those elements. It isn't this, you know, Fruit Loop, Fruity Tooty kind of shit from California. It's not. It's Spanish. It's brooding. It's a little bit mysterious in the way it approaches it. And that's all very, very, you know, reminiscent of more expensive wines.
It really is.
I mean,
this blend is done so well. Let's talk about the different elements of each of these varietals that's in this. The leather tobacco thing from Syrah.
That's Monastrell too.
True that. It's there in this wine. The typical Humea, that just tannic backbone. Again, I guess you could say that could be from any of these varietals, but it's what you come to expect with Monastrell.
I'm going to tell you the one thing that is unique on the mid palate that makes this actually delicious is the chocolate. It has a chocolate mid palate. They mention it in the reviews, but that mid palate, it is a baker's, but slightly creamier than that, chocolate that then leans into a little bit of tobacco. Mm-hmm. That is, I can't stress how nice that is of a combination. The front palate, the fruits are it's slightly plummy. There is a bit of prune, but it's very, very, very minute. More of a stewed plum. And then maybe just a little bit of black currant, savory fruits, mm-hmm. really nice savory fruits. All very, very well balanced, you know, a nice tight package that's lovely. But it's still it's lithy slightly. So it's brooding. You're like, oh, this wine has depth. It's like sinking into a warm bath of wine, you know. There's little pops of acidity too that pop through,
mm-hmm.
and the oak is sprinkled throughout the wine just to add a layer of depth. It's not there to taste toasty. It's not there to taste woody. It's there just to sprinkle just another layer of flavor and complexity to the wine.
It is a perfect balance of it's a larger tannic structure to the backside of the wine, with this balanced oaking that is just quite nice on a wine that finishes really, really long. Does that sound like a description of a $10 wine? The answer is, oh, hell no.
I've had $35, $40 bottles of wine that I didn't enjoy. I didn't think as much as this.
And that's just talking about the finish.
And I'm not saying that I would pay that much for this, but I don't think that if someone stuck a tag on this and you didn't know any better, would you be disappointed? No, because there's enough stuffing there. There's enough wine. There's enough of A, B, C, D, F, G that makes you say, okay.
If you put $10, if you put three glasses out there, same wine, you had three different people taste it, and you had a $10 sticker, you had a $35 sticker, and let's say you had a $50 sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would have put the $35 sticker on this.
That's exactly the price you'd think it was. You'd think it's Spanish, probably, or possibly French from, you know, not Rhone.
But Rhone-ish. I could
somewhere,
see
yeah, muddled in between there. Yeah, because the Monastrell doesn't taste of Rhone. It's not quite ripe enough and intense enough for that. That lithy broodiness just keeps that away. But I would say, I would say Monastrell because it tastes of Monastrell, which is a great thing. Although Monastrell sometimes has a floral element to it. Really good Monastrell. This doesn't have that.
But again, it's 50, 30, 20. So
yeah.
But this used to be one of our major premises. It's hard to go wrong with Spanish wine, regardless of the price. This is why we said that, a bottle like this.
Well, this does not have one negative trope associated with it. Because sometimes you're going to, if you go cheap, you could get something that's a little weedy, green. It could taste stewy. It could be, you know, completely just insipid.
Just a this little wine, off on the oaking.
Yeah, this wine isn't any of those things.
It just isn't.
It is a bit of a tapestry of wine. It tastes like when you envision what should a good wine taste like. Something like this. Especially it's Euro-st too. Very Euro in style. It's a throwback. We used to drink these wines, this type of wine, earlier on in the show, like season 3, season 4. We haven't had a lot of these type of wines in the last couple of years because we've been moving on to different things because we kind of covered this. And getting back into this is just, it's just reminding me how much we really love this style of wine, this kind of wine. It's our thing.
And this is what the show was founded on. Introductory and budget price wines. We tend to do a mixture of things now, partly because in our market where we buy our own, you run out of options at some point. And it's like we do want to be interesting with our choices when we stick in that budget category. So we're just kind of coming back to a style wine that we've done before. And for whatever reason, we just haven't done this one on the show. But it deserves to be on the show. This deserves to be known.
Well, I have friends that really love Spanish wine. They really love Tempranillo. And so, you know, when you're like, well, okay, their favorite is a Numancia Termes. Oh. Okay, well, that's a great one.
Hello.
It's a little bit different because it's Torres. I just did a 2011 on Friday night. That's a $20 bottle of wine, and it's, you know, 13 years old. It had to go through a coffee filter, but once it filtered out, that thing was a heady bastard. And it had slight port finish, but oh my God, it was decadent. But, you know, when they're saying, you know, what's another thing I should try? In reality, it's wines like this because, you know, it's just so worthy of a Friday night. It's worthy of a Saturday night. It's worthy of any night of the week. It just is. I mean, the Gordo Verde is nice, too. It's a little more linear than this, but it's a great-tasting wine. It's a great wine. This one has a little more complexity. The gold, we're going to have the gold on the show soon.
If you're considering, not a dinner party, but an event where there's going to be wine,
yep.
Why the fuck wouldn't you try this?
This would be a great wine, dinner wine.
This would be a great wedding wine. This would be a great, you're having
can I just
a
take a
Christmas
bottle of it?
Party and you're catering it.
Oh, man.
This would be just, a red wine to offer.
It's too good for that. It is. It's too good for that. I wouldn't do that. That's what Castle Rock is for. I wouldn't do that with this wine.
But $10 a bottle?
It's lost on that, though.
But I get it. But you're running an event. You've got a budget. $10 a bottle? No. That's well within a budget.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't waste this on that. I don't give a shit if they made 10 million cases of it. I wouldn't waste a case on that event for this. This wine, I think, is way above that. This wine is, if you're having a blind tasting at your house and you're having like 5 different wines, this has to be one of those. Because what Scott said, people are going to misdiagnose it in 2 seconds. If they know Monastrell, they're going to taste that, but they're going to think it costs more money. There just isn't anybody that's going to, not going to say, well, they're not going to say, oh, that's $9.99. They never would think that. But also on a wine dinner, folks, this wine is a great choice. As a, you know, if you're going to have multiple courses and you want to pair things with this, what would this pair with? It would pair with anything that's...
Anything.
Well...
Anything?
Anything. But I'm thinking about what I had on Saturday night. I had a prime top sirloin that had mushrooms, onions, and blue cheese.
Well, you couldn't handle the blue cheese because you're still trying to understand what angry fuck sex
There was
means.
3 pounds of blue cheese on top of it. But it was,
there was a lot of blue cheese.
There was a lot of blue cheese. It was good, but I really liked the flavor of the meat. So if I was doing it over again, I would have just got a simple sauce on it. That flavor of that meat was just something else. But this wine with that combination, ooh, buddy. Ooh, that's high living right there. And this thing is so cheap. Restaurant price would be $35, $30. If I had a restaurant and I had I would have this as a pour, any of their stuff.
Where we were at had that Avalon Cab for $10 a pour. and that's a couple bucks cheaper than this. I think it goes for $7.99 at Grain and Grape.
Avalon?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep saying Avalon? What do you want to do with the Avalon?
No, it's not my favorite wine, but it was similar price point to this, and they get 10 bucks a pour for it.
Are you just talking about dollar-wise?
Yeah.
You're not talking about taste?
Hell no.
Because Avalon sucks.
It's fine for what it is. It's
What's
just
that?
Not
gutter trash.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, it's trash.
It's Lodi cab.
Is it Lodi?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Californian, man.
No.
Avalon makes a Napa. Okay. Educated Guess makes a Napa, too. We did have Oberon Napa cab for dinner. Why? I don't know.
Because you ordered it.
Yeah, I did. And we can say it's fine.
It was good.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
I enjoyed it. It felt like it needed decanted. You know, my glass, I sipped and let it sit, and it was better as it opened, for sure.
It's a perfectly good representation of inexpensive Napa cab.
Yeah.
You know, not complex, but has all the right things in the right places.
Yeah.
And it isn't sweet.
It wasn't over the top.
No, it's subtle, and that's good. Solid. Not going to buy it, but still.
Medium-ish, stylistically, Napa cab, which is perfect for what we wanted for our group.
Precisely what we wanted for our group. Although, if this was here, there, I would have done this.
Yeah.
Inexpensive Spanish wines are always just completely not on wine lists, and they should be. Maybe the profit margin isn't there, but this thing, the gold, the Gorda Verde, I mean, oh, man.
Well, I don't know about, I can't imagine that it, you know, if you're $10 for Avalon, you put the same price point on this, you're getting this bottle for 50 cents, 75 cents more than the Avalon at that price point of $8 a bottle versus 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Wholesale's like on this one, it would be in Ohio, six something.
Restaurant price probably less than that.
Yeah.
But so you sell one glass, you got a profit.
Yeah.
You open a bottle to pour, you mm-hmm. get a profit.
If only we knew somebody in the restaurant business.
Well,
he would like this.
Who?
I don't know anybody that wouldn't.
Yeah, that was my next question. Let's talk about a shorter list. Who wouldn't like this?
Bobo the Circus Monkey? I don't know. No, I know Bobo. He's a wine connoisseur, really, you know. Yeah. Not really, no.
Circus Monkey?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably neglectful to make a monkey
Becky
drink.
Becky has moments where she doesn't care for things that are oaked as
Becky
much
like
as this,
this
is. I think she'd love this, but you
this
know,
predominantly oaked.
It's lengthy and it's a little oaky towards the finish.
This just encourages you to drink it.
It
draws you back in for another sip, another sip, another sip, and every time you're rewarded, every single time.
It has just enough rusticness about it that I love, that gives it just a little,
yeah, authenticity.
Authenticity, but I was going to say edge. It's like
it doesn't taste like something that was made in a boardroom. This is a fairly large. I'm not sure. I mean,
shit, this is a mass-produced wine,
but it's
really
well
done. Well, yes,
yeah.
It just is, folks, and year in, year out. And it's not just one of their entry price line. It's all three that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, wife and her girlfriend likes the Avalon. Deb will buy it sometimes. But, you know, they go and they get a case and they run through, they get to the bottom, they go back. And they go through a lot of this wine. And there's not a bad bottle. There's not bottle variation, which again says a lot about the producer. It's an inexpensive mass-produce wine. They know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, also, sometimes these wines can be over the top. This one is even the winkiest bit boozy. It's really restrained. It's just a respectable wine. Here's a question. Scott, I mean, I said what I would pair it with. What would you pair it with specifically?
Yeah, we were talking about all the different things you could pair it with.
Yeah.
You're doing that dinner party. So I think of some type of, I'll give you an example. Some type of appetizer with the cream sauce. The example I'm going to give you is that shrimp cognac at Scally's, at Frank's.
I've never had that.
It's over the top richness. This wine could handle that.
Well, I could see that. I mean, a heavy, I could see that completely because of the way the fruit is really,
And the length of it.
Yeah.
The nice oak with the finish.
But the sweetness of a shrimp would be well complemented by this.
And the rich sweetness of the sauce, the cognac sauce, it is over the top. It's very keto friendly too for me, so yay me. And it's just freaking deliciousness, and all the years going there I never had it either, and it's Woody the bartender from Wings who's like, you have to try that. And he was spot on right.
I can see that.
What else would you pair this with, sir?
Once again, the
angry fuck sex.
I'd
pair this with Angry Fuck
Sex. You know what I would pair Angry Fuck Sex with? A very good criminal defense attorney. No.
You don't understand the concept yet.
I don't want to know what... I'm not a degenerate, the fact that you talk about Angry Fuck Sex.
I'm not the one who introduced a Serbian film
you read
to
that.
The podcast.
You read that, didn't you?
I didn't introduce it.
Yeah, you read it. Yeah, yeah. You want me to read the plot on the...
A fake snuff film?
I don't know if it's fake. It's not fake enough, from what I understand.
From what you understand. Not that you've personally experienced it or watched it.
I can't stomach horror movies. I can't stomach shit like that. I can't do it.
I don't do horror movies because I get scared.
I would. That's not even a horror movie. That movie is made for people that are bad people. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would you watch that? You're just a bad person. Reading it makes you bad enough. I mean, you read it. I already know what it says. But... It's one of those things. It's like the human centipede. You don't watch that. That makes
What's
you...
the human centipede?
Look it up.
No, you tell me.
You look it up.
Tell our audience, or I'm going
to. They don't need to know. And you.
Well, then why did you bring it up?
You won't repeat it once you read what it is. Figure it out. It's a horror movie, but it's a disgusting horror movie. You know.
It's actually a film series.
There's sequels. Yes. Yes. But the question is, why would you make that? That's disgusting.
Deranged German surgeon kidnaps tourists and conjoins them surgically. Mouth to bunghole.
Yeah. Great job, Mr. Filmmaker. You're cool. Disgusting. It's repulsive. I'm glad you read that. People could have looked it up themselves or not, but whatever. There's more that are like that. There's a lot of movies out there that are, I don't know what you'd call them. They're not gray area. They're bad. They're not quite illegal, but they probably should be. It's artistic. It's not. It's not artistic. And watching it makes you bad, you know? But.
How do you even know about it?
I know things, guys.
Yeah.
I know things.
Oh, Lord.
I drink and I know things. That's just what I do. I know many things. I'm like a Rolodex of things, you know.
You should be embarrassed.
I've never seen any of those things. It disgusts me.
You haven't.
But I don't want to stumble across it accidentally either. What's this? Oh, God. I don't want to do that. So, you know. But you just stumbled across it. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's Potpourri, on Saturday night, Scott and I, the superstar, and our friend Jason, we went to a lovely dinner at the Barn. That is a, it's a steakhouse slash bourbon slash, you know, gourmet-ish restaurant, Cameron Mitchell Restaurant in Columbus.
Steakhouse.
New Albany. Yeah, steakhouse primarily. They have some other things too, naturally, every offering. It was one of those things where the Triple B has gone out and done many fun things, and I have been a babysitter. So I had texted Jason, and Jason and his sons are on the same soccer club. I said, Jason, next Saturday night, we are going out for dinner. I texted Scott and told him he was going out for dinner. And then Steve, on Saturday morning, texted me and goes, hey, guys. And then, oh, yeah, we're going out for dinner. And so we invited Steve, too, which Steve, you can never think is, yes, we did not invite Steve from the drop. But you can never invite Steve. He has to organically show up somehow.
The truth is, he'd been checking in on me over our little thing at home. And, how you doing, buddy? We need to get together. I'm like, well, you know, we need to go out and have drinks and dinner with Rob. I'm like, you know, funny you say that because Rob has reservations for the Barn tonight. And that's why he contacted you about dinner.
Oh, okay. So he was dropping hints?
No, I dropped a hint to him.
If I knew he was available, he would have, because he's never available.
Well, particularly on a Saturday night.
Oh, sure. Why would I think that? But
he is more available now than he's ever been.
Wouldn't have mattered if we had a reservation for four and there was four of us already. Steve would have been able to, obviously, eat in there.
Well, he knew everybody in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Now, Becky said, what about this person, that person? I went, I don't need to hear your recommendations for who we should invite. Jason did the same thing for his wife. He goes, no, no, no. And
who are the invitations? Come on, name names.
Well, you wouldn't know who Jason's wife was telling, but Becky was, well no, I'm not going to say that because it would hurt people's feelings that don't listen to the show. But they have an accent. Let's just say that. I was like, whatever. I was like, I'm 45 years old. I don't give a shit about people's feelings at this point. It's like, I didn't invite you. How now you gonna be sad? I'm not in kindergarten. It doesn't matter. If you get sad,
well, your demeanor and
get the fuck over
joke humor aside, it was you're funny. Not in kindergarten.
There's a guy we're friends with him, but it's kind of it's kind of complicated. It's just, you know, how silly shit is, people are. And so I'm going to pick up Jason, but he lives basically right across the street, right? Well, I'm driving the Mustang, which isn't inconspicuous.
It's loud.
Yeah, and so he's sitting on his porch watching his dog pissing and shit in his front yard. But I was like, just roll on. I was like, yeah, I got the windows up. Pick up Jason. We roll out. And he's like, well, of course he's sitting on the porch. But what are you going to do, you know? But we couldn't invite him, even though we would love to. But because it doesn't matter why. But it has nothing to do with him. You know, other people. But nevertheless. The dinner. The Barn, we enjoy the Barn. It's not my favorite restaurant, but it's not my least favorite restaurant, and it's always a good time whenever we're there. It's one of those restaurants that, is the food great? Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But the ambiance is really cool. It's there used to be a restaurant called Hoggy's in this area, and it was like a barbecue joint. And Hoggy's, the restaurants were barns, essentially.
I think just this one. The other ones weren't as expansive as this, and they weren't as this place. The overhead cost on it, the it's like a great room concept in the center, and it's probably got a 30-foot ceiling at the middle.
Well, like a barn. It's a barn.
It's humongous,
but it's wildly nicely appointed. It reminds you of like have you ever seen Caddyshack, Bushwood Country Club? So they're in there. Your plush carpeting, that kind of decor, which you'd say isn't that dated? Not when it's done right, and it's really, really comfortable and cozy.
They took a rustic,
yeah,
style building, and modernized it up and, mm-hmm. and dressed it up.
Yeah. Leather couches.
Tastefully.
It's just...
Tastefully.
Everything is to the nines. It gives you... almost choked on a piece of cheese. You should chew before you swallow. Mm-hmm. It gives you like a country club, a club kind of feel. You're there. You're a member of something, right? That's what it makes you feel like when you're there.
Particularly but, the bourbon bar.
Bourbon bar is very cozy. But it's
off the top. Just really mm-hmm. expensive and comfortable seating.
Yeah.
You never know what bourbons they have behind the counter. If you know the bartenders, they might give you a pour of Pappy.
$60 for a 2-ounce pour of Eagle Rare. That's not a joke, Scott. And or a misprint. $60 for a 2-ounce pour of Eagle Rare.
Expensive.
We passed on that. But that's okay. We had Sazeracs and they were lovely. Smoked Sazeracs were great.
They do barrel-aged cocktails.
Yeah, barrel-aged Manhattans. Those are all reasonably priced.
Huge barrels, too. Probably, how many gallon barrels would you say those are? They're humongous.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking huge.
Well, I mean, they had stuff for $800 a 2-ounce pour.
Like but I said, you never know. They might
have
Pappy.
You don't have to be stupid. They also have Rebel Yell for $8 a pour or $6 a pour. So there's price ranges for everybody, and you can get anything you need and anything you want and enjoy yourself. They don't care. It's a lovely place. Nevertheless, so they have some great appetizers. I've always liked the sauerkraut balls. It seems like I was the only one eating them. I guess I'm the only one who likes those, but, you know, I shouldn't have. It was a little bit too... for me, but that's okay. I thought other people would engage, but yeah, I was just eating them. Calamari, which I don't love, but I don't hate. You know what I mean?
Theirs is really, really, really
It is
really
good. Good. It is good. But the entrees, like I said, I get the 10-ounce top sirloin, which is a prime with those toppings. Scott, what'd you get?
Lamb chops.
Yeah, you got rack of lambs. What you got?
Lamb poppies.
It was a very hearty serving too.
How
many lamb pops were there?
Not trimmed off, so yeah. It had that dual piece mm-hmm. of meat. It wasn't just the chop portion of it. It had those thicker fingers, the way Hank liked to have them cut.
Mm-hmm.
Except it was proper rack. I would say there were 10, 11 bones.
Oh yeah, that's a lot.
The best mint sauce I've had in fucking for I care. Can't remember the last time I had a meat sauce that or mint sauce that was to par with that.
Mm-hmm. Steve had a filet.
I would give Steve here, take this, and I actually handed him my butter knife, which was clean, and he took the little ramekin and dumped 3/4 of it out on
what do I do with
one bite of steak that he had left.
He tasted. Yeah, Steve had a 8-ounce filet, which was, you know, normally you dress those things up, but. And then Jason got the twin. They do twin 4-ounce fillets with either bacon wrapped or with brie on top of them. And he got the bacon wrapped, and he said they were divine. And then, but honestly, the 10-ounce sirloin. Next time you're there, Scott, you got to get that top sirloin.
I considered it. I was looking at the small cut of prime rib, which that's a place to get prime rib.
Yeah,
but they also have
fried chicken.
Quite a selection of dry age things.
Mm-hmm.
They have the over-the-top $75 steaks.
Yeah.
I think...
they do a bone-in filet.
I think they had something that popped over $100, maybe.
No, I didn't see that.
Steak-wise. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Everything, actually, I thought was like 66 and below. They had a long bone ribeye. They didn't announce any specials, but like the dry-age prime or the dry-age strip is a 16-ounce, and it's 53. Which is less than the prime 14-ounce. It must not be prime, but why would you dry age a choice steak? It's got to be primed.
At cost.
But the point is, though, you're breaking down the fat, and if it has less fat, there's no point in dry aging it.
Well, it's all ratings. It's all, you know. Plus, you're also dealing. It's Michael's Meats in Columbus is the mm-hmm. primary meat. Top-end meat provider
mm-hmm.
in the restaurant industry here. And I would guess it's a cut that's designed, per se, to be dry-aged.
Well, they dry age it in house.
Correct, but it's...
There's no reason to...
I don't know about that. That's they a have good dry question aging racks. Do they have a dry aging
rack? Yeah, I've seen them, yeah. It's just unusual. But still, I thought the top sirloin, I would get that every time. And it's a little bit less. I mean, understand. The top sirloin is $42, but everything comes with the sides. So it's not a la carte. You can get a baked
potato.
That's the
other thing I was going to say about the barn.
And that's a big thing.
They don't side dish you to death.
It's not like a Morton's or a Ruth Chris where you're going to get, they bust your balls. You're paying $50 for a top sirloin, and then you got to buy a fucking potato for...
That's $18.
Yeah. No. Everything has a side. So that's what I really...
What'd you end up with, the twice baked?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was good.
I got a wonderful thin but fresh cut green beans with red pepper, roasted mm-hmm. red pepper, and candied pecans.
It's always a nice combination. Yeah.
It also had, maybe the candied pecans had a little bit of heat to them too. Might have been the red pepper, but there was a little spice to it. It was wonderful.
I would have done the Brussels, but our waitress kind of downplayed the Brussels.
I asked Brussels versus the beans, and she said go with the beans. I think it's just how they treat them with that, whatever the pecan dressing is. It was freaking fantastic.
Well, she said sometimes they suck, basically, is what she said. I'm thinking, I've never had Brussels in a restaurant like this that suck.
It's probably just straightforward, nothing to them, where the beans were. It was made into a nice dish.
Maybe she didn't like Brussels.
I think she just.
Nazi.
Knows her dishes and...
Or does
should
she?
Take this to the next level. Would you rather have next level side or regular Brussels sprouts that are just crispy?
I really don't think that the barn is going to do just regular Brussels sprouts that are just a little crispy.
Well,
they're going to put mustard seeds in
there. That's how she behaved.
She probably didn't like... She didn't like sprouts.
I think you're being judgy.
Yeah, I am. Damn it. We're on a wine program where we review wines. That's just inherently a judgy thing.
What's the judgiest thing about our table that night?
Judgiest thing about our table?
Our table, that you would judge somebody at that table.
You, about your angry fuck sex?
No, there was a sinful act.
What was the sinful act?
Somebody didn't drink their cocktail.
Oh, well, yes. The superstar orders some sort of Woodford?
Yeah, they do special aging for the Cameron Mitchell restaurant family, and it was a...
I don't know what it was.
Baird number 19, I think it was called.
Yeah, and it was like $20 or $19. And he got a big cube, and he ordered... he said he asked for some Luxardos.
Can I ask for a favor?
Yeah.
Can you,
that's even the right... because he has a high-pitched voice.
Can I
have some Luxardos? And so she goes and brings them back. I think
she brought back a port glass full of maraschino cherries.
We realized that they're Luxardo cherries, not maraschinos.
That's a style of maraschino cherries, sir.
Luxardo is a liqueur that the actual, and they're a bigger cherry than it. Anyway, so, but Steve just eats the cherries, but doesn't drink the bourbon.
Didn't put a single cherry in his cocktail.
No. It's like, and the thing is, it's like, Steve, I'm not a big Woodford person. Neither are you, Scott. Don't act like you are.
I don't mind, because he used to throw a special bottle.
Yeah.
From time to time.
But Woodford is meh. And this one was meh. You know, honestly, I don't know why he did that. Why would you get anything else? Well, you got a martini, which is a completely different thing. That's fine. Did you enjoy your martini?
Crushed it.
Good. Why wouldn't you get a Sazerac? Smoked Sazerac. That was great. That was such a good tasting drink.
Stevie.
I mean, you were doing something completely different. And I bet that other thing, the Hemingway, even though it was up and I would have called you an old lady for drinking it, I almost would have won too. It probably is delicious and there's nothing wrong with it. Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you just go, I'll have the Woodford that I won't drink because it doesn't taste good.
But he often gets whatever the special Woodford is.
But there's nothing special about Woodford.
That you're not going to drink.
I mean, double O.
It was really good.
We didn't taste it. Really good. It was fine.
It had a little note of cherry. It was a nice bourbon.
Not a great bourbon.
I would say it was probably a great bourbon if I had ordered it.
$20 a pour?
Come on, their bourbon pricing is little expensive anyway.
Yeah, but you can still, I mean, shit, man. No. You know? No. No. But the, like the Sazerac, it was 15. They used Buffalo Trace for that, which
I think
is...
It's a cocktail. It's just a cocktail.
Fantastic. Buffalo Trace is a great base. The old... Buffalo Trace has changed, first of all.
Well, is that made with rye? Is Sazerac made with rye?
Don't know. This wasn't a Buffalo Trace rye. So.
Oh, sorry. I was in the middle of Googling that Luxardo are maraschino cherries.
Well, I know they're maraschino cherries, but they're... But Luxardo is a liqueur. Maraschino cherries aren't a liqueur. They're in a sugar sauce. It's red.
I think Sazerac is rye. But it was a smoked Sazerac. Mm-hmm. Smoking cocktails is a big thing. I don't know.
You've had one of those better. All they're doing is putting that little cap on the top and blowing it with a torch. It's all right. I didn't think it was all that smoky.
But. Yeah, that's that... You just cover it and cap it.
You had one, though, where it was in the smoke box and it walked in and was... That was there.
When we... The time we went and had cigars or the time we went for the Christmas thing?
It was Paige's birthday. You got a smoke set.
That is right.
And it came in, it smelled like a frickin' hickory fire. I thought that's what I was getting, and I did not get that. It was still nice, but I thought I was getting the treatment that you got. Apparently, they must have ran out of... Whatever the hell they did with that one, because that was like a treat for me, and I didn't even drink the damn thing.
Rye whiskey. It can be with brandy, bitter sugar, and absinthe.
There's no absinthe. Cord Nu is what I think they put in this one.
What's Cord Nu?
Liqueur.
Like a bitterish.
I think it's like an orange bitter. Is it orange? No, that's Grand Marnier. I don't know what the hell Cord Nu is, but it has a bit of a tangerine-ish kind of flavor. Just commercials for it. I mean, I don't drink it straight because I'm not a fucking, 75-year-old degenerate.
You'd have to know how to spell Cord Nu.
It starts with a C.
Yeah, thank
and there's
you.
An O, a U. Yeah. I don't know how to spell it.
I know, right?
I put it like
a French spelling. I went C O U R.
Your iPad is a little bit disturbed right now because it looked up Angry Fuck Sex.
Nope.
And the Serbian film.
That it has issues with.
Yes,
and
it does.
The Caterpillar.
Yes, it has a lot of issues right now. It wants to shut down permanently from you. It doesn't know why you're looking those things up, but
somewhere in Florida, the Caterpillar children's book got banned because of you.
You know what? I can see that. That what I would support.
What?
Mm-hmm. DeSantis would be third in line in the Caterpillar. That fucking. I'm losing to Trump. He's indicted in every fucking state of the country. And you can't beat him in the polls, you dumbass cuck. I mean, what the fuck? You're a loser.
Well,
DeSantis, you're a loser.
He is a loser.
He is a loser.
Disney hands his dick to them.
Yes, that's why he's a cuck.
This whole banning books. And
he's a clown.
You can't have a diversity and inclusivity program at all in a state college. Mm. It's trying to ban it in businesses. It's like,
you know what Trump said?
Keep the
Trump
fuck.
Trump said, he goes, I hate the term woke. Nobody can even tell me what it means. I hate that word, which is true. They just use it as a way to get people riled up. It's like, well, yeah, but you do the same thing, but whatever. You know, that's a good point, though.
Trumpy talking about using something to get somebody riled up.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what Scott uses to get people riled up? Angry fuck sex. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Boat.
We'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the Ego Bodegas El Guru, the man, the mad hairy fella. Yes.
Bob Ross.
Yeah.
The Spanish Bob Ross. Bob Ross had more well-kept hair.
Yeah, this guy is just gross. But I will say this. Triple B's not on, but it does have two stickers on here that show that it got a 92 from the decanter and a 91 from Wine Enthusiast. If Becky saw that, she would knock it down a point for each sticker. I won't because that's stupid. But still, Scott, what's your score?
I mean, I
wouldn't put the decanter and Enthusiast on my label as a sticker.
I'm going to go
It's incorporated by in the label, by the way, too. I wouldn't. I would just act like no one ever reviewed me before. But go ahead, Scott.
I'm going to violate one of our rules.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to give a little higher price because a little higher point value because of the price point. You know why I'm going to do that? Because I fucking can. I was between a 90 and a 91. I'm like, you know what? I'm giving this motherfucker a 91 because it's a $10 bottle of wine.
I was going to give it a 91 because it's a 91.
It really is a 91. No, I just think it truly is hard to score this wine without giving some consideration for the budget and reprice nature of it.
I'm not.
Because it's so well made. It's like it's ridiculous. But it does go to the ability of the winemaker to keep the cost down and to have such a quality. And it's not just that it's approachable, it's how it's treated. The blend is perfect.
Yes,
the oaking is beautiful. Yes, considering the tannic structure of the wine. Mm-hmm. It's lengthy on the finish.
Yes,
it's not the biggest in terms of body, but it's big enough for what the varietals are.
That's not what this wine's about.
I agree. And the savory nature of the fruit, I do think as it's open, I think I can detect a note of like blueberry in there with the savory fruit.
There is.
It's just, there's a lot going on, and it's 10 freaking bucks. Are you freaking kidding me? It's a well-balanced, detail-oriented, perfectly structured Tempranillo-based blend.
There's no Tempranillo in it.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Monastrell.
There we go.
Based blend. There it's we go. Fucking perfect. It's a perfect red blend.
Well, let me start off by saying this. If I were taking price into account, this would get 100 of my points. You just said it's perfect. It is, as a value priced wine. This is the pinnacle of value priced wines. Yeah. This is the flagship. This is the best. You're not going to, at $9.99. If you know a wine that's better, please email me because I want to fucking drink it. There isn't any. This is it. This is it. This is the best sub $10 wine by a penny wine we've had on the show, period.
Yeah.
There's no other wine.
No.
I mean, I like Protocolo at $8.99, but once again, that's not every vintage. No, this is a better wine.
And even just in the budget wines we've had that are off the fucking hook good, year in, year out. I mean, let's go back. Bernard, Louis?
No.
No. It had that spectacular year.
Yep.
And the 15 was good.
Mm-hmm.
No, the 15 was great, but it wasn't as good as the 13.
No.
And then after that, I think we had a 17 or an 18, and it really wasn't good.
No.
Haute de Leon, except we just couldn't get it anymore.
Haute de Leon was $20.
Even then, it was more.
It's twice the price.
I think at first we were getting it for $14.
No, we weren't. That's a lot more expensive
but
wine.
But still, and that's 7 years ago?
Yeah, that's not even fair.
You can't get it.
The board knew.
Chateau Bordeaux?
At $15. That's one. But that's a different wine. That's Bordeaux. That's just a different wine. They aren't comparable.
This is $10. It's like you said. This is $10.
Yes. Taking price into account, this is the best wine.
Chateau Bordeaux, it does have that year to year to year. I think we're on our third vintage of that now.
Chateau Bordeaux is the best value-priced Bordeaux, I think, that you probably can buy.
And count on it.
Yeah, it probably is. And
I think we're maybe fourth vintage of it.
Oh, yeah.
Just We Rock.
The N1 is good, too. Both of their products under $20 are great.
Which one?
The N Degree, N1, whatever you want to call it.
Oh.
There are two. So we have the one, there are two different products. The one, the N Degree or N1, whatever it is, we did that back in the day.
I've never bought that again.
In a double episode, because it's not been, they haven't offered it. In a double episode with Pune Kane. My God. That was, we don't do those kind of episodes currently because the Triple B isn't on. Two people doing like three wines in a show, too much. But three people is obviously better. But yeah, this is the daddy. 91 points for me, though, from a Olympic score. This is an exquisitely well done wine. If you drink wine, if you like wine, if you don't drink blueberry wine or blackberry wine or Mogan David or hooch, you don't make out with your cousin, you don't use a vape pen.
Often. What if you do, but you don't make out with your cousin often?
No, either way, if you've ever kissed your cousin in a way that gave you some sort of, excitement in your pants, no.
You give me that funny feeling in my
tummy. I haven't even done any pickup lines on you tonight, Scott. Because I don't think I'm interested in you. Angry fuck sex. I think that would... You're just a dangerous person. Actually, it kind of turns me on. You're a dangerous man, I think. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Angry fuck. That's what... If Scott's in Thailand, he goes, me what angry fuck. He's a racist dickhead. And that's what he says to him. They're like, okay. And do you have $20? He goes, yes, I do. And you know what Scott gets? He gets angry fuck. But that's Thailand, Scott. That's what you get. I mean, I don't know. You can get a lobster for $5, and you can get angry fuck down alleyway 4 for $20. It's great for Scott. He loves it. And get $20. That's a lot in Thailand, Scott. That's 4 lobsters.
Wilfred.
4 lobsters equals 1 angry fuck in Thailand. That's okay.
Red Roof Inn called. They want you to come and get your crusty sweatpants.
It's in the lost and found. I'll let somebody else use them. I am well-to-do, Scott. I work for wine.com. I'm a reviewer. I am. Yes. I'm 11,000 heir. Did you know that?
Heir.
Yes, I'm going to inherit that. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Some heir.
Yes. Several old ladies I've befriended. They each have $100 to their name. It's a lot of work on my part, but, Luckily, I'm not in Thailand, so I don't have to have angry fuck with them, but that's okay. Still.
Anyway, folks. 291s. Wine Vault. Value price, Hall of Fame, just Hall of Fame in general. Bravo to Ego Bodegas. Tip of the cap. You do an excellent job. So,
the cap to the hairy man. He's a hairy man on that label.
Well, he is. He is. Those are like vine, or like a vine roots to me, but that's okay.
No, there is hair on his head.
Maybe it's his pubic hair, Scott.
I suggest that this goes to the top of the scale on the Value Price Hall of Fame.
Sure.
The Wagner Camp Franc was a great drink.
That's just there because there wasn't any other place to put it.
That was a great drink, though.
That was a great drink. Well, we just had the Cabernet not too long ago. That was a good drink.
It was a great drink.
Yeah.
I like the Cab Franc a little bit more better.
Are you excited about the Meritage blend that we have that we're going to have eventually?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more pricey, though.
Well,
Have you ever had yours? You have that. Do you have that?
I have not opened any of those. I'm holding them.
For a special occasion.
Well, just holding it back proper.
You forgot you had them, don't you?
No, they're actually on the hold and lookout wall.
Hmm.
On the wall where you can see the label.
Do you have any 17 Ramy Cab for $39 a bottle? You don't. I'm sorry. There's just one.
Fucking douche.
You suck a dick. Anyway, so.
I do have Ramy Cab.
Yes, but not that. So do I.
I think I got it on a
off price, but it was like 48, I think. Mm,
you didn't.
Yes.
I have Remy Cab, I have Remy Syrah, I have Remy Claret.
I got the Claret.
I like Claret. You know what I might buy in the future? Not right now, but in the future. I might start buying some Remy Chardonnays.
Really?
No.
Why don't you just get Carlisle's Chardonnays?
Because they don't make Chardonnay?
Yeah, I think they do.
I don't think so. Martinelli does. I don't think they do. Nevertheless, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.